Hello, and welcome to the BCMA podcast. This month on the BCMA podcast, we're exploring collaboration, and to do so, we've turned to the latest issue of our Roundup magazine. Published this month, the latest issue is all about getting out there, community collaborations in museums and cultural organizations across BC. The issue is available on our website. Just visit bit.ly/BCMA Roundup to see for yourself. We'll hear from the new editor of Roundup in a few minutes, but first, the BCMA is excited to welcome a new contributor to the podcast, Chelsea Forsyth. Chelsea sat down with the latest Roundup issue to find out what makes collaboration successful and how to learn how museums in BC can get it right with their communities.
Hello, my name is Chelsea Forsyth. I work at the Nanaimo Museum. I am a working board member of the Parks Museum and a member of the Stolo Nation. The latest Roundup is very informative about the concept of community collaboration and how that might look like in reality. The title is Getting Out There, Community Collaborations. Museums are not islands and can be a center in the community for collaboration. The sky is the limit. Community collaborations create a positive, inclusive environment and a sense of belonging. They show that a museum is open to new ways of knowing and hold a long-lasting community relationships. As put by Jane Lemke, the managing editor of Roundup, collaborating with your community shouldn't be a one-way street. It should have mutual benefits that create a relationship which lasts far beyond the project. Tanya Muir, president of the BCMA, reinforces the importance of mutual benefits to all parties by stating that museums across BC have taken one step further from museum-to-museum collaborations to now museum-to-community organizations, service agencies, not-for-profit organizations, and government agencies, therefore having a more active engagement of the development and sharing of content and meaning. Keep these things in mind while I present some information about community collaborations. Today, I will be talking about from big to small, the nitty-gritty of community collaborations. Regardless of the size of your institution, the steps towards collaboration can be challenging and sometimes daunting. No one said it would be easy, but I'm going to break down a few tips that can help make your museum's collaboration a success. Of course, every collaboration is going to come up with its own ups and downs, but keep sight of that mutually beneficial goal, and it will steer you towards success. One of the articles in Roundup is titled, Collaboration, What Does Doing It Right Look Like? This article highlights the Museum of Anthropology's community collaboration for the exhibit, Culture at the Center. This exhibit was co-hosted with Musqueam. This exhibit is something special. It was a collaboration of five Indigenous cultural centers, including Musqueam Cultural Education and Resource Center, Squamish Lillooet Cultural Center, Heiltsuk Cultural Education Center, Niska Museum, and Haida Heritage Center at Kai'ilnagai. This exhibit creates a meeting place for every group to share knowledge and to see the interconnectedness. The themes explored in this exhibit are land and language, community and continuity, repatriation and reconciliation. The idea for this exhibit came from a question raised at the BCMA conference in Whistler in 2016. How can BC museums actively support the work of BC Indigenous communities through their cultural centers and museums? To answer the question, as stated in the article, MOA came up with first offering a venue for the communities to speak, raise issues, and have a forum, and second, bring people and financial resources to the table to support an event's work already taking place in Indigenous cultural centers and museums. But of course, that is just the start. Everyone has to start somewhere. It all starts with an idea. But now, how to make an idea into reality? Collaboration takes time to be done right. Time is one of the major factors. The more people involved, the more time it will take. Especially when there's distance between collaborators. It can be difficult to find a time that works for everyone. For centers run by few employees, it can be a huge sacrifice to allocate so much time to one project. Skype, conference call, Zoom, FaceTime, email, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, text, snail mail. Majority of the communication was not done in person for this project. Which leads me to the next part of collaboration, establishing a mode of communication. Technology is not everyone's best friend, and that is something to take into account when collaborating. Establish communication strategies that work best for everyone. Is it worth it to have a tech orientation, or is it worth it to pick the simplest form of communication? The benefits of community collaborations. A collaboration can give a higher traffic volume that may not happen at each individual institution or center, and therefore, an even greater opportunity for learning and communication in a way that is meaningful for the center presenting the knowledge. One thing I like especially about this collaboration is the presentation of diversity of Indigenous culture, yet the visible interconnectedness too. I think for the typical museum visitor who may not know have all the knowledge of different nations of Indigenous people, this exhibit will serve to show all the unique and beautiful components that make up the participating nations. This can help in creating a more knowledgeable society. One of the many lessons from this exhibit is the importance of technology and the role it plays in collaboration. But it is only beneficial if you have a group of the same skill level. The end result for the exhibit is a cohesive presentation that communicates the diversity of the communities. Collaboration is not simple or easy, but the outcome is more than a successful exhibit. The relationships made and the acquired knowledge creates a more connected society. Collaboration dreaming, achieving in a small community museum. I find these success stories so inspirational. Okay, so let's talk about what it's like for majority of museums that do not have a big budget or a thoroughly staffed museum. Collaboration in the community can take the form of working with devoted and capable volunteers. Finding the right person with your collaborations behind the scenes and in between can be difficult. But you have to put as much energy into finding the right people as you would hope they would on your projects. Some people think the person they need with the exact skills that they need will walk in the door and want to volunteer, or probably they don't exist in the community at all. But there are all sorts of people willing to be part of a project, but getting creative is and where to look. The Sunshine Coast Museum and Archives started looking for people in their community that were passionate about FIXT, an exhibit that explores the idea of creating a permanent, drivable connection to the Sunshine Coast, and if possible, they want to engage high school students. There are classes in high school, such as leadership, that require volunteer hours. And this would be a great way to try out some potential people for museum projects. Two high school students, Mary Thompson and Sarah Macy, learned how to use video and audio equipment to be able to interview other high school students on the topic. Outreaching to the local Coast TV, an already strong relationship from previous collaborations, helped steer them to the Elif Steenstone TV Club, who were enthusiastic to help with an exhibit video. Augmented reality technology was added to the exhibit with the help of another collaboration. with Matthew Talbot Kelly. He was able to get practical experience using the Unity Design Program and Vuforia AR app. This gave an interactive component to the exhibit that the Sunshine Coast Museum and Archives dreamed of. Just like any community collaboration, it needs to be mutually beneficial for all parties. So helping people develop their skills on something that interests them, even to add something to their resume or checking off volunteer hours required for graduation. Regardless, the relationships and bonds with community created through these projects are the biggest benefit. I hope these inspirational stories and tips will help you in your community collaboration at your museum. And once again, these can be read in the Roundup magazine.
Thanks to Chelsea for recapping some of the articles found in our current issue of Roundup. Read the full articles, all about collaboration projects that Chelsea talked about, and much more in our current issue, available now on the BCMA website. Visit bit.ly/BCMA Roundup for more. Speaking of Roundup, our latest issue marks the final production by editor and designer Jane Lemke and Shannon Bettles. Jane and Shannon have been managing Roundup's content, design, and production for the past 3 years and are now moving on to other projects. Our thanks to the dynamic duo for their hard work in producing excellent publications over those 3 years, and best of luck in the future. Our new editor and designer are already hard at work getting ready for their first issue, coming out in September. Desiree DaCosta and Rosemary Gresham are joining the BCMA team as editor and designer, respectively. They are both excited to work on the publication and connect with the museum community around BC. I called up the new editor, Desiree DaCosta, to hear about her journey in the museum sector, to learn why BC's North influences her work, and to find out what she has planned for Roundup in the coming months. So Desiree, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you are the new editor of Roundup magazine. Tell me a little bit about how you got into that position and got interested in editing for the BCMA.
Well, editing has always been an interest of mine. I found, during my undergraduate, editing my own papers, editing my friends' papers, working on things at the different nonprofits I've worked with, art galleries and museums, I always enjoyed the editing procedure. Helping people, working collaboratively to craft a vision for something that we can all kind of look at and be proud of. But specifically with the BCMA, I was approached by my friend Rosemary Gresham, who is also the designer for Roundup with me. And as she was, she became aware of the request for proposals. And we had actually worked together at a museum before where we had collaborated on kind of curating and designing a temporary exhibit. So we were really excited at the idea of being able to kind of collaborate again on a creative project in the museum field. Well, it was actually way back when I first started university. I went home for a summer to my hometown, which is Smithers, BC, and I was lucky enough to be the successful candidate for a Canada Summer Jobs program, where I became the assistant to the gallery manager of the Smithers Art Gallery, full-time for a summer. And that's really where my interest and kind of opening into museums and art galleries came. That gallery up until recently was a one-person establishment. It was a one full-time person and volunteer establishment. So when the summer student comes on, it's crunch time because you finally have two people. So I got a crash course in everything from database management, volunteer coordination, to exhibit planning and event hosting and all sorts of different things. And from there, I was hooked, giving back to the community, working with the community, providing space for communities to gather and do important cultural work became my passion there. And then later on, after university, right as my university career concluded, I was again lucky enough to get a position at Mackenhouse Museum in Coquitlam, and again doing general assisting, a little bit of everything, a little bit of writing, a little bit of tour guiding, research, exhibit planning, all sorts. So, yeah.
So it sounds like a pretty good background in museums, a good background in cultural work. How do you think that that's going to impact your role as an editor, knowing sort of all those aspects of museum work?
I think my strengths really come from working collaboratively with my friend, who I've worked with before at my previous museum work. And I think our kind of big strength going forward is the fact that we are young and we're just coming out of our undergraduate degrees. So we've gotten a taste of, you know, arts and culture field. We've worked in museums, art galleries, these different kinds of fields, and we're excited to innovate and we're excited to bring new ideas, coming into the environments and seeing, what has been done and what people would like to do, kind of taking inspiration from other parts of our lives. Like, I'm an avid listener of podcasts. So like thinking about how to incorporate audio into the digital version of Roundup, or, you know, we both love watching, you know, YouTube and other things like that, thinking about the power of film, multimedia, the internet, bringing that into Roundup. So I think those are, in many ways, how close we are to our education and having kind of a different perspective that way. Yeah.
Right. And so this is sort of an interesting lead-in because you are a brand new editor with Roundup. The issue that was just released for the BCMA is actually created by our past editor and designer combo, Jane Lemke and Shannon Bettles. So you are right at the very beginning. What's the very exciting thing that's planned for your first issue of Roundup?
So our first issue is the Canada BC 150 grant recipients issue. So what we're planning on doing is soliciting proposals from various grant recipients who want to take an opportunity to reflect on their projects that they were able to either fully implement or are still working on with their grant. And we really want to focus on the legacy of that grant and how it's been able to expand communities and kind of create opportunities that maybe wouldn't have been created without those funds. So looking at areas like accessibility, like, you know, smaller museums finally being able to get accessible features for individuals with disabilities to be able to come visit more equitably, more fairly, more accessible. Looking at digitization projects that some places maybe rurally wouldn't have had the resources to do before. You know, exciting projects where, you know, cultural heritage and oral histories are being recorded and preserved for the future. So there's so many different stories from so many different parts of the province. And even though each little feature on each of them is going to be kind of short and sweet, maybe just a page or two on each project, we're hoping to have up to 10 projects in the issue. And we're hoping to really get a taste, not only of just what's come of the grant, but also what's going on in our province and the diversity of museums and art galleries and what's on offer all around the province.
You've touched on this a little bit, but what's something exciting that we can look for in Roundup moving forward past your first issue into the next few?
I definitely think we want to bring a multimedia focus to Roundup because it is primarily it's a digital platform primarily. So incorporating more multimedia clips, you know, audio clips, video, trying to make those connections in the community. Really, we want Roundup to be kind of a forum or a platform for the museum industry to have conversations with itself and share amongst all the different stakeholders. So I think it's less about maybe creating, you know, audiovisual content or anything like that, but more highlighting the talent that we have out there in the field.
So what's something that you would want to accomplish with Roundup, not just in terms of what's in between the covers or what's online, but as a publication itself for the sector of BC, what's something that you want to accomplish with Roundup?
That's a tough question, but I hope, because there's so many things, but I think I really want people who read Roundup and who submit to Roundup and who write pieces for Roundup to feel that is their publication. I want to see a lot of stakeholder stake, if you will, and I'm going to repeat the same word, but I really hope to see the community take ownership and kind of take up Roundup as like their place. It's not a physical place, but, you know, their place for dialogue, their place for inspiration. You know, I would love it, you know, if I open my email inbox and I have lots of people in there, you know, with great ideas or with great submissions or all sorts of different things coming forward. I really want to see it. And I know it already is a forum for the industry, but I really would love to see the sort of social aspect of it expand so that it can really kind of fully meet its potential.
That sounds really interesting. And I guess to end, as you've started exploring some of the museums around BC through your new position with Roundup and also just from having worked in the sector, what's a museum that or a museum or a cultural organization that we should all be looking out for?
There's so many, but one that always stands out to me is the Kissan site in Hazelton, BC. It was one of the very first museums it's much more than a museum. There's some space where artifacts are displayed and on loan, but there are different, it's on Gitxsan territory, and it's on, there are various different longhouses there that represent the different peoples of the region, and there's lots of interactive cultural learning experiences, and I know that there's also, or at least there was an Indigenous art school there, and that's definitely a place I would love to reach out to and talk to and see if they would be interested in working with Roundup. Being from Northern BC, I'm always there to represent, you know, that region of the world and kind of bring it to light a little bit.
And that location is right under the beautiful scenery of the mountains around there. It's a great place. So thank you very much for bringing that to our attention, and good luck with the first issue of Roundup.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Desiree DaCosta, the new editor of the BCMA's Roundup magazine, for joining me to discuss what's next for the publication. If you want to read our latest issue of Roundup, see back issues, or just get ready for Desiree and Rosemary's first issue out in September, then visit our Roundup page at bit.ly/BCMA Roundup. If you're looking for more opportunities to hear about museum projects around BC and to connect with your colleagues across the province, then join us in Kelowna for our annual conference. We'll be meeting from October 21st to 23rd at the Delta Okanagan Grand Resort, right on the shores of Lake Okanagan, for 3 days of informative conference sessions, networking, and fun in Kelowna's wonderful museums and galleries. The conference features over 50 speakers, keynote presentations from Dr. Joseph Wask and the Virtual Museum of Canada's Megan Richardson, and a special pre-conference workshop focusing on Indigenous cultural competencies. Volunteer opportunities and our travel bursary applications close soon. To learn more about our conference, our sessions, and how to register, visit our website at bit.ly/BCMAconference. That's all the time we have for this month. My thanks to Chelsea Forsyth for joining us as a contributor, and to my guest Desiree DaCosta. We'll be back next month, but in the meantime, subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play, and listen to past episodes on the BCMA website, museumsassn.bc.ca. The BC Museums Association receives operational support from the BC Arts Council. We also gratefully acknowledge the support of the Royal BC Museum in providing a home for the BCMA Secretariat. The BCMA Secretariat is located on the traditional lands of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations.